Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, coast to coast. Thank you for joining us. Relentless Hearts in Progress, A Spiritual Journey by Reverend Robert Alonso Sosa, Ph.D., walks the reader through how the choices they make eventually build their character and their faith. In today's world where everything feels divisive and hostile, Relentless Hearts in Progress argues for acceptance, tolerance, empathy, and a deep love for others. Reverend Sosa is an ordained Orthodox priest who is involved with counseling youth groups, those struggling with addictions, the incarcerated, and the homeless. He began his career studying medicine and dentistry. After 26 years of practice, he attended Seminary College, where he earned a licentiate in sacred theology and a master's in Christian counseling. He studied for his master's and Ph.D. degrees in neuropsychology and neurophysiology, also became board certified and a diplomate with the American College of Addictionology and Compulsive Disorders. And Reverend Robert Alonso Sosa, Ph.D., author of Relentless Hearts in Progress, A Spiritual Journey, is our guest on This Week in America. Reverend, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me, Mr. Bratton. I deeply appreciate it.
Well, please call me Rick, and I'm looking forward to this. I'm going to learn on today's program as well, so I'm taking notes as we go through our conversation today. First of all, let's start with the basics. What was the motivation for you to write this book?
Well, Rick, one of the motivations that led me to write this book is I was listening to all these confessions, all these people, conversations, and throughout my life, and basically I noticed that people only perceived life the way they wanted to perceive it and not the reality. And if you permit me, I want to give you like a quick real example of what I'm referring to.
Yes, please do.
I used to work at this hospital, St. Vincent's Hospital in Lower Manhattan in New York City, and it was in a neighborhood called The Village. And mind you, the village is basically known for basically gay couples. You know, I mean, men, women, gay, which are very nice people. And most of them were nurses in the hospital that I worked out of. And so I had a great relationship, you know, I mean, with them and everything. So one day I was leaving the hospital to go to lunch, and this other surgeon came on and said, "Hey, Father Rob, can I go with you to lunch?" And I said, "Sure, come on." So we're walking through the sidewalk, and all of a sudden, he says, "Father Rob, would you look at that? Two men holding their hand, two women kissing? That is an abomination in the eyes of God." And Rick, I just stood still. I stopped walking, and I looked to him, and I said, "You hypocrite. You're married. You have three boys. And you're having an affair with your office manager and with a nurse in the hospital." And, you know, upon me saying that to him, you know what his answer was? "Well, Father, you must admit that adultery is not such a bad sin as homosexuality."
Wow.
And I said, "What? Adultery is one of the first 10 commandments. That's a mortal sin." Now, I'm not judging him. But what got me real upset was that he was judging the homosexuals, but yet he perceived, adultery as being good or maybe a lesser evil. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So that he could sleep at night, so that he could justify his actions. So in other words, this led me to basically. This is only one example out of a million. You know what I mean? That I'm giving you, but this led me to believe that people perceive the world how they want to perceive it because it makes them feel good.
Yes.
And they're not willing to face the truth. And that got me really, really disturbed. I mean, you know, I said, I have to write a book about this. I gotta wake some minds here. I mean, you know,
yes.
I'm a priest and I'm not a violent man. Since I can't slap people, you know, I gotta write a book. You know what I mean? You know, and you know, to try to awaken people's mind, and for them to first of all perceive reality as it is and take it, I mean, take it, you know, like a man. You know what I mean? Take it on its true call. And not only that, stop prejudging others. We're all sinners. We're all flawed human beings. So why distort reality just because it happens to agree with your lifestyle? You know,
so many lessons in that example that you gave us. The book is Relentless Hearts in Progress, A Spiritual Journey by Reverend Robert Alonso Souza, PhD. In a second, I'll give you his website, book available wherever books are sold. Why now and why not 10 years ago into writing the book? Is that because of society changes, cultural changes? Is that part of it?
Rick, definitely. We are more divisive now as a country.
Yes.
And not only as a country, but we're more divisive now even as a planet, I mean, than we were just 10 years ago. And even though it's taken me a lot of years to write this book and come up with the material, I mean, for me to write this book, I said to myself, you know what? I think that the time is now, because there is so much hatred among us right here, all us Americans. And we're all Americans, whether you're Jew, Christian, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, you know what I mean? We're all Americans, and we're all striving toward one single goal, and basically to have a better life and actually show the world by example. So basically, right now it was the time for me to let this, you know what I mean, have this book published and have this book out there, so that actually it could maybe awaken some people's minds, you know what I mean? So
the time is right. The book is Relentless Hearts in Progress, A Spiritual Journey. Reverend Robert Alonso Souza, PhD, our guest and the author. His website is relentlessheartsinprogressmini.com. The book available at Amazon, the usual places. Links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You mentioned gathering material for the book. How did you go about doing that? Where did this come from? You mentioned before a lot of this were personal experiences, like the guard, I was going to say the clown that you were going to go to lunch with that day. It came from personal experiences, obviously.
Yes, many personal experiences. In a past life, I used to be a surgeon, basically, as you said in the beginning of the show, that I left medicine and dentistry both. I mean, so I can pursue a career as a clergy person. And basically, I mean, I've seen it all, and especially since working in New York City.
Exactly. Yes.
Yes, and in all the boroughs. Yes, I've seen it all, and I've heard it all, and not only through confessions, through just conversations, people calling me and saying, you know what, Father Bob, I need to speak to you, and me having to speak to them, which, by the way, I love what I did. I love what I'm doing now. I'm more fulfilled with my life right now than I think than when I was practicing medicine and dentistry. But the thing is this, I just noticed that a lot of people had, and you know, they did not want to perceive the world the way it really is. They just wanted to perceive the world from their point of view. And basically, it's me trying to, you know, sometimes go, have you ever had an experience, Rick, where you've said to somebody, oh, what beautiful blue skies we have this morning. And then that person just turns around and tells you, what do you mean? The sky's purple.
Exactly. I mean, yes. Yes.
You know, so basically, and you show them all the empirical evidence, you know what I mean, that the sky is actually blue, you know what I mean, and they still say it's purple or green, you know what I mean. So basically, I mean, yes, I mean, those are the people that I actually, you know, sometimes have to, you know, do with a calling of God, and basically, I have to speak to them. I have to try to change their minds, their thinking patterns, or their souls, their hearts, and it's one of the hardest jobs that I ever had but one of the most fulfilling jobs that I ever had.
I would assume when you see that you're getting through, that you've made a connection, and maybe their outlook on life will change at least to some extent now because of something you said or did to them. Has to be extremely rewarding. Relentless Hearts in Progress, the name of the book. What message do you wish to convey to readers in this book? And I know there are a number of themes that you have at play here, but sort of summarize the main message you'd like people to take away after reading Relentless Hearts in Progress.
After reading my book, I wish, and I pray to God that people would actually open up their hearts and actually develop empathy for others, acceptance. Love.
Yes.
After all, love is the biggest weapon we all have in our arsenal. You know what I mean? And without love, we're not going to get anywhere. And society is telling us, our planet is telling us, that if we don't unite with each other and we do not begin to love each other, we will cease to exist. You know, we won't be around very much. My father used to tell me when I was a kid, Rick, empires last, but they do not endure. The only thing that has endured has been the word of God. And I hate to say this, if the United States keeps on going down this road, I mean, yes, it may last another 100 years, but it's not going to endure forever.
There are so many warning signs. You read, and I was just glancing at news headlines this morning, another warning on the ecology of the climate. And to so many people, that's fake news, and we want to fight about it. And it seems to be inevitable that we have problems and we need to deal with it. And I want to go back to what you said before. Love, you talk about, is the most powerful weapon in our arsenal. That really should be the foundation of who we are, shouldn't it?
Definitely. And people, we live in a society where basically people just get home and they listen to something that is being said, and let's say on the news, and they said, you know what, if they said it, if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for me. In other words, people don't do their research, or people don't look into the stories of, you know what I mean? For example, you walk down the street, let me just give you another example, and sometimes when you say to somebody, oh, hi, how you doing? And the person just say, like that. You know, the first thought that comes into your mind is like, oh, man, this guy, you know what I mean? Why did he answer? He answered me. Couldn't your thought be, well, maybe he had a bad day today? Maybe he needs, you know, an ear so we could, you know, I could listen to his problems. I mean, in other words, be empathetic.
Yes.
I mean, and empathy is, for me, at least, it's part of, you know, loving your fellow brother. I mean, your fellow neighbor. And, you know, we just don't have that. The society that we live in, people just wake up in the morning, da-da-da-da-da-da, you know what I mean? They go to work, they come back home, they're dead tired, you know what I mean? They just don't want to listen. They don't want to listen to anybody else. They don't want to deal with it. And we have to change, because we've advanced technologically, but we haven't advanced spiritually.
Yeah, it almost seems like the further we go with technology, the further we pull back with emotions and understanding and empathy being one of those that you talk about. The book,
correct,
Relentless Hearts in Progress, A Spiritual Journey by Reverend Robert Alonso Sosa, PhD, our guest on the program. What demographic, what type of reader are you trying to attract? Like age group? You're a priest. Is this limited to denominations, religious persuasions? Who is this book for?
I'm trying to attract all types of demographics. Of course, I mean, you know, I would say children maybe starting from 13 or 14 on up, so that they could understand the material, of course, when they read it. And basically, as far as denominations, listen, when you feed a hungry person or you save someone's life, that is something good. It doesn't matter if you're Jewish, Christian,
yes,
Muslim, or even an atheist. You've done something good. It's a good act. So it doesn't matter, you know, I mean, what denomination or persuasion you're from. Basically, you know, this is something logical that it should be ingrained in our hearts and in our souls. So basically, yes, I'm trying to actually capture, as far as demographically speaking, you know, capture as many people who would be willing to listen to the call, because this is a call. And that's why I named the book Relentless Hearts in Progress, because we all are relentless hearts in progress throughout our lives. This is not a day-to-day or one day to the next day, better yet, excuse me, process. I mean, we all grow as we age and we become better human beings. But you have to be conscientious of what you're doing. I used to have this Presbyterian pastor friend of mine, or actually still a friend of mine, and he used to say to me, "Hey, Father Bob, you know what? We have a saying in our church: you better check yourself, or you'll wreck yourself."
Ooh, I like that.
And you know, every once in a while, Rick, I pause and I said, "You know what? What have I done today constructively? When this person called me, did I speak to them nicely, or did I just wave them off? Or, you know, I mean, we're all human. We all fly, and we all have our days. But I try to retrace my steps. You know what I mean? And because I want to ascend to be a better human being every day, and that should be everybody's goal in this world.
And it's an evolution, isn't it? It's a process. So many people think, you know, I'm 67 years old and I'm about to retire. I can't change. I am who I am. People can change, can't they?
Definitely. And it's been proven scientifically. That old saying that old dogs can't learn new tricks, that doesn't work anymore. No. As a matter of fact, through the process of neuroplasticity, And I'm going now scientifically here. Actually, we can change our thought patterns. We can change our thought patterns. In turn, can change our hearts, our souls, and not only that. Even if you have neurological problems, I mean the mind. It has been shown that the mind can actually create other paths through where you can send signals to other part of the body, you know what I mean? Where basically you can actually, if you're a paralegic, you can actually, you know, with time, actually be able to walk. You know, yes. And that has been proven. And there's about, as a matter of fact, the Trump's, I'm sorry to mention his name, but anyway, former President Trump's secretary, the one who was a neurosurgeon, I forgot his name. I'm very bad with names, especially politics. And he, Ben Carson.
Oh, Yes,
Dr. Ben Carson wrote a book because he devoted most of his life into how to change, you know, your patterns, way of and your behaviors, and basically, and how the old mindset that once you have brain damage, that's it. You know what I mean? Your neurons would die, and that's it. You couldn't change. No, he actually, you know, proved, and I mentioned Ben Carson, but I mean many others did it after him. You know what I mean? They scientifically proved that you can still change. You can still change your situation. You can still change your thoughts, your behaviors, your thinking patterns, which in essence, it will change your heart and your spirit.
And if you're thinking, how do I go about doing all of that? That's one of the themes that Reverend Robert Alonso Souza talks about in his book, Relentless Hearts in Progress, A Spiritual Journey. I'll send you to the website because there's so much there. You can get information on the book and all of that is there, but there's much more. RelentlessHeartsInProgressMini.com. You'll see the words, mindfulness is at the core of a peaceful and fulfilling life. It takes you 3 seconds to read that, but it's so powerful. get back to yourself, discover personal harmony. There are just so many things there. Very simple, they're relatable, they're understandable, they're actionable. Visit the website. You'll get information there on the book as well. Time is going by so quickly. I want to ask you about your experience as a priest. What's the root of all evil? What makes people do things they should not do? Do you have an, that's a pretty heavy question. I probably shouldn't spring that on you, but do you have any clue to an answer, because you've dealt with this, people doing bad for a long time?
Well, you know what? I noticed, and I can only speak about the United States, you know, because this is where I live and where, you know, and where I practice my priesthood. Basically, that greed and envy is actually the root of most evil. Most of the very, very sad stories that I I've heard in my life have actually started because of either greed or envy. You know what I mean? Somebody's envious about somebody else, and greed, just wanting more and more and more. I mean, we live in a society, and I hate to bring this up. I'm not much of a politician, but basically we're, attorney generals or federal attorneys, you know what I mean? They actually go and they say, oh, you know what? I put 100 people more in jail this month than I did last month. I mean, this is gonna get me up to the corporate ladder. Yes. You know what I mean? Yeah. So basically, and eventually, of course, they run for politics. You know what I mean? For a political position. But the same goes for, of course, for those that want more money, and all that they think about is working. And oh no, I want to retire with a $5 million, $10 million nest. That's like, now, mind you, I'm not saying that money is bad. Okay, don't get me wrong, but to just dedicate your life to that, I don't know. I just found it so shallow and so empty inside that. You know, that, I don't know, it really disturbs me. It really disturbs me.
Talk yes. about, we have a few minutes left here, but that's interesting in the way you deal with people. You mentioned you deal with people struggling with addictions, incarcerated, the homeless. You're there to help them. Empathy is at the forefront in what you're doing. How rewarding is that? How fulfilling to you? And I want to compare that to somebody who maybe made a $10,000 commission on a sale today. And that's, you know, that's gratification that's instant. It's there. It's probably not going to last long. But when you walk away from somebody and you feel I have made a difference in their life, what's that feeling like?
Listen, now I'm going to quote, because I'm a vivid reader. I read everything that I can get my hands on. And in the Quran, it says, if you've saved one life, you have saved the world. And basically what they mean by saving a life is not saving a life physically, but spiritually. And this is the same way that I feel. I am much more fulfilled now when I see somebody that I can help turn their lives away from doing evil.
Yes.
Then what I did years ago when I used to do surgery on a person. Mind you, yes, I made a lot of money when I was a surgeon, that I admit, but it came to a point where it wasn't fulfilling me enough. And I guess I felt a call, and basically I said, you know what, this is just making me empty, and I need something to fill my soul, my heart, and my Lord, and my Lord's wishes. So today, what I'm doing now, basically, is not with a scalpel, is with words, but it is so fulfilling. And mind you, Rick, sometimes I spend 15 hours a day plus going house to house or places to speak people. I mean, about their problems, help them, counsel them, and everything. And I, when I get home, I just say, whew, you know what I mean?
Exactly, yes.
Yes, I'm so tired, and not only that, spiritually draining, but I feel good. I feel so good at what I did.
You got
and
to the...
not be- yeah, not because I'm a goody two-shoe. No, I mean, I'm a human being like just like any other. I have my days where I wake up grouchy, you know what I mean? Even yes. as a priest. But it's just, this fulfills me so much that I'm doing God's work. It's just incredible.
You got to the point where so many get to, is that all there is? You feel like you've got the success, you've got the money, you've got the notoriety, you've got people that highly respect what you're doing, and you didn't feel totally fulfilled at that point, which you do now. And another quality you obviously have with empathy is listening, something that's missing so much from our arsenal. For most of us, we just don't listen to people, and it's amazing the cues you can pick up on if you listen to somebody. We're out of time, but what are you working on now? Do you have another book that you're working on?
Well, actually, my publisher just got my second book, which is Searching for Kephas. Kephas is the Aramaic word for rock. And if you remember your Bible, it says Christ said to Simon Peter, Peter, I will call you Kephas. You will be the rock on which upon I will build my church.
Yes.
And basically, when Christ was crucified, they asked Peter, who supposedly is the leader of the church, they asked him, do you know the Christ? And he said, no, he denied Jesus Christ three times. And then, of course, he regretted it, and he dedicated the rest of his life to doing God's will, and he ended up dying, God's name. So I compare myself to Kephas. I've denied Christ so many times, and you know what? But not anymore. Not anymore. In other words, I'm gonna dedicate, or I'm dedicating my life to God through the most fullest that I can. And basically, and that's my mission. That's my life mission. So basically, Searching for Kephas, you know what I mean, should be out in about two and a half months approximately. And then I'm working on a third one, which is a novel. Well, that I'll keep under wraps until it's done.
Well, I would hope that we can talk about the next book. That sounds like a fascinating topic as well. And it's been a thoroughly enjoyable conversation today with Reverend Robert Alonzo Sosa, Ph.D. The book is Relentless Hearts in Progress, A Spiritual Journey. His website is Relentless Hearts in Progress. A lot of great information and things that will really impact your life in a positive way at the website. And you can link onto that by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And my thanks to kingpagespress.com, the author's marketing consultant, for arranging our conversation today. Book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. Reverend, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us, and hopefully we can do part two.
The pleasure is all mine, Rick. Thank you so much for having me. I deeply appreciate it, and blessings to you and your family.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much. Our guest is Reverend Robert Alonzo Sosa. The book is available wherever books are sold, Relentless Hearts in Progress, A Spiritual Journey. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we are back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.